Oh, look, I don't think they're responsible for the recession. I mean, they had to respond to the health crisis, and that is ostensibly what created this major downturn in the economy. So I wouldn't put responsibility at their feet. They've acted very, very promptly. They've been very decisive and swift with their policy responses to date. But they will be judged from how they get the economy out of this hole.
And one of the things that is coming up is the tapering off of the support mechanisms like JobKeeper particularly. What do you think might happen towards the end of the year?
Yeah, well, this is the first big test, isn't it? So they put in place the emergency policy programs, the extension of JobSeeker, the JobKeeper. These were all substantial injections of money into the economy. And that worked. We saw that in the latest GDP report, which showed essentially household income growing in Q2, even though the economy contracted by that record amount. The question is, when is the right time to get rid of these emergency supports? Because you have to do it to allow the economy to get back on its feet, to get the private sector up and going again. But if you do it too early, if there's still a health issue out there, you know, we could see the economy re-slump. You know, you could see a vicious cycle of job losses and contracting spending. But if you keep it in play for too long, it gets in the way of a recovery. Now, I think this government is chomping at the bit to get into the recovery phase. They're facing an election in a couple of years. They want to build some momentum. So the risk is they're doing it too early, in my view, especially after what we've seen in Victoria. And it is a significant pullback from September through to March next year. It's still in place, JobKeeper, but we'll go from 3.5 million people on it at the moment to 2.5 million in 4 weeks' time. And then in 4 months, i.e. January 21, there'll only be a million people on it. And the question will be, how many of those people who fall off the eligibility for JobKeeper lose their job? And that's the real question.
Because some businesses also that may be kept afloat with JobKeeper, maybe they're not viable. So that we could see a proportion of businesses going under in the next, you know, 3 to 6 months. How big do you think that might be?
Look, I don't know is the honest answer. The OECD has put out a number some months ago that 1 in 6 businesses in advanced economies like ours could fail. I think that's a little bit high. But that is really the point, is that JobKeeper is as much corporate welfare as it is aimed at keeping, you know, people with income. And the other piece of this puzzle is the bank interest moratoria. So that's been extended to January next year. And banks can't actually foreclose on a business while they're in moratoria. They have no mechanism for it. It's actually not legal, I suppose. The issue then is when we finish that moratorium in January 21, JobKeeper's been wound back for 4 months by that stage. What's the state of play? And that's really the main message from someone like myself who's monitoring the economy and trying to make sense of where we're headed, is that right now we're not really looking at an economy that is sustainable. It's next year that we're going to be sort of facing the day of reckoning, that we're going to get the real insight into what the economic position is. And there will be further job losses, I believe, unfortunately, and there will be business failings in the first half of next year, and then we'll know what the challenge is.
So we're kind of in like a phony recession at the moment. We're really going to get to the crunch time beginning of next year.
That's right. And look, economists tend to focus on all the numbers and all this sort of stuff, and they're important, don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's not the fall in GDP, which basically happened over 4 weeks in the middle of March to the middle of April. I mean, that was the big downturn in economic output. So we're not going to go back into recession in a technical sense. It's all about how quickly we can get back the lost economic output. We've lost 7% of economic activity in this economy, which is phenomenal. The previous largest fall in any one quarter was 2%. A typical recession involves a fall of around 3% over a period of 18 months or something like that. So we've got a long way back, and the issue is, how quickly can we get that activity back? How quickly can we get the people who are unemployed back into jobs? And, that's really the test now. And it's a substantial task. It really is going to take a couple of years. I don't think we should sugarcoat that.
And Josh Frydenberg's been quite critical of the degree of lockdown, I suppose, in Victoria, and also to some extent Queensland's border closures as well. Do you think it's just a bit of party politics, or is there some truth to that?
Look, you know, it's a tough one, right? As an economist, I don't want to sort of be too heavy-handed with views on health, but you can argue that, you know, in New Zealand, the Queensland WA model is putting all their chips on a vaccine, essentially. Whereas the government's arguing, and many other countries' approach is, we have to learn to live with this, and that's the so-called COVID normal. We can't just keep locking societies down. So New South Wales is getting great experience at running the suppression strategy, at contact tracing, of being all over outbreaks, and they're having some real success, in my opinion. The other states aren't getting much practice at this, not Queensland, not WA, and, of course, Victoria is in full lockdown, so it's sort of a bit of a moot point, really. And I think this is the point, is, you know, do we just have to bite the bullet and try and manage our way through this, or do we keep locking down? I mean, the cost of lockdown economically is huge, and I think there's a growing sort of voice that says the cost in terms of health is substantial. So my guess is we're heading to a point where everyone's got a sort of, you know, you could argue there's sort of a come to Jesus moment, and I'm sure the Prime Minister would like that to happen tomorrow at the National Cabinet. But I think there's also state politics. You know, the state premiers are playing on fear to some extent, and shutting the borders seems to work for them. They're going to have to just face up to the realities of COVID-19 at some stage. And I'd imagine that's the way it's going to play out by the end of the year.
One other thing that I was just noticing was that there's been reports that a lot of people actually have been saving money in this period for various reasons. They're not doing as much, and they've been able to keep some of those savings there. Is there a danger that people don't go back to spending?
There's always an issue in an economy of people sort of worried and saving too much, and and it's matched by the equal problem of people being over-exuberant and spending too much and racking up heaps of debt. And, you know, we have both problems from time to time. I think what we've seen in the second quarter of this year, and the GDP numbers sort of highlight this, is that the government maintained sort of household income through their stimulus payments. A lot of people still kept their job and still kept getting paid, and people stopped spending. And they stopped spending because they couldn't spend. You know, they could only buy so many jigsaw puzzles and board games and et cetera, et cetera. So there is a sort of a pent-up demand there. And we already saw it with the easing of restrictions in May and June, with a sort of big bounce back in people going to restaurants and so forth. So, look, I think, you know, there is a buffer. And I think as we ease restrictions, obviously in Victoria is a big one, but even opening those borders to allow people to go on holidays. I mean, people in Australia go overseas for holidays, but then the next port of call is to go interstate. I think a lot of people who are forced to holiday within their own state borders tend to be a more modest holiday. It's not as big a deal. Well, I think that's the case right now. So, yeah, I think there's money there ready to go. The flip side of this is that government income support's going to come off, and household income will slip over the course of the next 12 to 18 months. So we sort of need that buffer in there, because we're not going to get any income stimulus from the government as they pull back on JobKeeper.
Well, I suppose we'll just have to keep on with the balancing act, and we'll watch this space for December and January.
There's a long way to go on this one, and it is exactly as you just characterised it. It's a real balancing act between the health issues and the economic issues, and, you know, it's going to continue to be, I think, a very tricky economic situation. Not for everyone. A lot of people still have their jobs. A lot of people will be going about their normal sort of business as usual, but there's a lot of people who have lost their jobs, and it's going to be a lot of fear of losing jobs, and that's going to be around for at least another 12 to 18 months, in my opinion.